everyone, and welcome. Jason Fedora with you. Eagles 360 is back after the bye. Hope you all enjoyed your weekend without Eagles football. And, of course, the Eagles benefiting from that weekend as all three NFC East teams lost on Sunday. So the Eagles heading into this game at the Dallas Cowboys, a three-game lead in the NFC East. It's amazing with only nine games played in the season. Got a great show for you today. We're going to hear from Glenn Macnow, who comes in. We're going to hear from Ike Reese, our Santander legend of the week. But first, we want to talk about a player who's really gotten hot, build a chemistry with quarterback Carson Wentz, and that is wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey, who has been a touchdown maker of late. He had a big one in the last game against Denver. In fact, he had two. And we break down one of them, our tape study, with head coach Doug Peterson.
Ajayi in the backfield. Three receivers left. Jeffrey right on first down. Ajayi gets, no, it's a fake. Pass to Jeffrey into the touchdown.
Joining us here for Eagles tape study, Eagles head coach Doug Peterson. Welcome back to the show, coach.
Thanks, Ike.
Let's take a look at this big 51-23 win that your team put together last week versus the Denver Broncos. Really a lot of nice plays, starting with this first touchdown. Now, I hadn't seen this one in the playbook yet. Talk to us about this first touchdown.
Actually, this play is in the playbook, and we just haven't used it yet this season. We're waiting for the right time, and obviously this is a read play for the quarterback because, you know, anytime we get defensive ends, again, as a defensive player, you get DNs that can bend just like this, and then you get linebackers that are going to fill and not scrape. We try to take advantage of this situation. So it's just a true inside. Carson's just reading 58, so it's either a give to 36, or what we have over here is we just have a one-step route and go. It's built into the play, so he's going to one-step it here, and then he's going to trigger as soon as he feels Carson Wentz pull the football. So great execution. I wanted this play on the right hash because I wanted to attack number 21 with his eyes and the aggressiveness. And he's a great corner, and give him respect because everything that he does in the passing game. But just wanted to take advantage of that. And then what a great throw, great finish on the play, great catch, getting him into the end zone. Well executed play.
Thanks so much, guys. Time now to bring in Glenn Macnow, who clearly missed the Eagles game this weekend. Football, you were shriveling up in your chair.
Well, I don't know about
with
shriveling.
The remote control.
You know what was great?
I want the Eagles!
I did, but it was really fun to watch the whole rest of the league to assess, particularly the Cowboys losing, which just made my Sunday worthwhile.
Which makes us a wonderful segue into some Glenn Macnow bold predictions as the Eagles get ready to beat Dallas on Sunday night. 8-1 versus 5-4, Arlington, Texas, AT&T Stadium, prime time. Let's bring it.
Got to be feeling confident.
I think everybody's feeling excited.
Got to be feeling confident. And so here's bold prediction number one. The Eagles will sack Dak Prescott 5 times minimum. Now, I suppose after last week when Adrian Claiborne gets 6 sacks, it shouldn't be that outrageous a prediction. By the way, he had 20 sacks for his entire career. He had 6 in this one game.
Yeah, and got a $750,000 bonus.
Yeah, well, good for
reaching. So why only 5?
Well, because the Cowboys had given up 10 before last week in their first 8 games, and then they give up 8 in this one game. Presumably, Tyron Smith's going to play, right? They're going to get him ready. If they have to push him out on a walker, they're going to push him out on a walker.
Got a back and a groin.
He does, don't we all? And he is good, but he will be out there playing. Listen, 5 sacks is a good number. Okay. I just don't want to get greedy, but I think the Eagles will have Prescott under pressure all day.
You would think that even with Smith there, the Eagles have an advantage at the line of scrimmage. They are coming off the bye week. They are fresh. They are hungry. They are salivating at the thought of Dak Prescott, who is extremely elusive and has kind of saved the Cowboys' bacon a few times here.
Yes, but will tell you, I think Cowboys' offensive line, so perennially overrated.
Okay.
I always hear, what a great offensive line.
You have been saying
that.
You've been saying that for a couple of years. I will back you on that.
All right.
Next bold prediction.
Number two, Jay Ajayi will get more than 100 yards rushing, receiving, especially if Sean Lee can't play, which is looking more and more realistic. By the way, when I wrote all these predictions, they felt really bold, and then I hear all the Cowboys are injured, and so they get less bold. But Jay Ajayi. I always forget the third syllable.
Okay.
Thank you. Jay Ajayi.
Bye week. Just getting to know him a little bit.
Right. And I'm assuming he spent a lot of time getting to know the Eagles,
the playbook,
the system,
yep,
the playbook. Now, the Broncos, the Rams, and the Packers really scorched Dallas's run defense earlier this year. There is no reason that the Eagles shouldn't do it, and that Jay Ajayi is going to have his real arrival game as Philadelphia. You like that?
Yes, I do. The only thing, he kind of arrived against the Broncos, and I'm very excited to see, as they integrate him more and more into this offense, what we will see from Ajayi, how they will use the running backs. I certainly don't think that five running backs are going to be active for this game if there are no other breakdowns. Remember, Zach Ertz was hurt last week,
right. And
that's why the Eagles had so many running backs active. But I'm very excited to see how the breakdown of carries goes with Blunt, with Ajayi. Do they get a little bit of mixture in there and throw Kenyon Barner into the mix? Does Wendell Smallwood dress? These things I want to see.
I'm anticipating what we'll see. The Smallwood might be the odd man out, but we'll see. But let me ask you this. Ajayi did not do a whole lot of receiving for the Miami Dolphins, mm-hmm. but he was good at it at Boise State.
Right.
The Eagles have run successful screen passes since you and I have been following this team.
Yeah, Corey Clement, and they got it going. They got it going with Corey Clement, that middle screen for a touchdown.
It's beautiful. Ajayi really beautiful. In the pass game?
Ajayi in the pass game, I think you work him in as much as you can. Mm-hmm. You see the explosiveness that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like that.
There you go. All right, number three.
Okay.
The Eagles' defense will hold every Dallas Cowboys running back, which will not include Zeke Elliott, to under 45 yards rushing for the game. Again, it's bold, except that maybe it's not so bold, because this season, running backs, facing the Eagles have totaled 383 yards in nine games, which is an average of about 45 yards a game. 2.9 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Dave, we are witnessing a great run defense, and if anything, it may not get enough notice because of everything else.
Correct. I do think in this game, Dallas will look to really force feed the run game to keep for a lot of reasons. Because, number one, that's what they do with that offensive line. Saves your quarterback, keeps the Eagles' offense off the field. A little small ball here by the Cowboys, including runs from Prescott, which are not in your equation. So
right.
I think that's a critical number. Eagles match up very well. I love this matchup. It's the Eagles' defensive front against the Cowboys, with or without Smith. There still are some big, mauling road graders for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. You know what?
But a very happy Timmy Jernigan in Philadelphia.
A very happy, lucrative Timmy Jernigan in Philadelphia. I don't want to say anything scares me about Dallas, because like you, I feel confident about this game. But the one aspect that I think where Dallas has the most ability to cause damage is with Prescott's legs.
Yeah.
I think, I don't think they're going to throw for a ton of yards because of the pressure. I don't think the running backs are going to get anywhere. Him breaking it off and scrambling, Eagles are going to have to account for that.
Glenn Macnell's bold, or if you look at it another way, not so bold predictions for Eagles Cowboys on Sunday night. Thank you very much. Welcome
Always
back a pleasure. From the bye.
Thank you, buddy.
We've got more to get to here on Eagles 360 when we return. Jeff Stoutland, Eagles offensive line coach in studio, talking about his group's performance this year, which has been nothing short of sensational. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by McDonald's, introducing McDonald's new buttermilk crispy tenders, irresistibly delicious and made with 100% white meat chicken. Try a four-piece at the introductory price of $3.
This is Rob, a real patient. He embodies the grace, finesse, and skill competitive soccer demands. But not long ago, arthritis pain sidelined Rob until he came to Jefferson Health. Two knees and a hip replacement later, Rob is off the bench and coaching the next generation of soccer stars. That's freedom restored.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me seven Powerball tickets, six match, six chances. Cash for
Life,
three
pick
threes, two
mega millions. Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new Merry Millions.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
The offensive line has been playing great football, and here to talk about it, Jeff Stoutland, offensive line coach, presented by the Rothman Institute at Jefferson. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. And I mean, Coach, look, we all talked about this all through the spring, all through the summer. How would it work out? Well, we've seen through nine games very fine football. I imagine. What have you seen?
I've seen improvement, you know, and I kind of said that during camp. You know, to synchronize it all, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes cohesiveness, guys working together. You know, so we've had our group together now for a little bit, and then, you know, JP got injured, and now we have V in there. So, you know, this is what you go through in a National Football League, really at any level. Players get injured, so you have to be able to put the next guy in and hope that you can just pick up where you left off.
I'd love to go player by player, and because it's just each player has such an interesting story and has fit in so beautifully to this line. Let's start on the right side in Lane Johnson and the play that you've seen from him this year.
Outstanding play. Different player in all areas. Just his focus, his attention to detail, even in meetings, he's been unbelievable. He's playing. He's at a different level right now, in my opinion.
He's always been talking like that he really wants to show that he can be the best right tackle in the game of football. Has it been that dramatic a jump?
Yes. He is on a mission, and he's biggest critic. I mean, he demands of himself. I don't really have to get on him at all. I don't really have to. I just have to coach him on. You know, some players you need to get on him and fire him up a little bit or whatever. I don't know. Lane, it's just fundamentally, if you see something, nip it in the bud right away, and then because he'll do exactly what you tell him to do. Right now, he's at that point where you just say, Lane, this, that, or the other thing, and he has it. He fixes it, and he's back to normal.
Wonderful to watch. And then his partner on the right side, Brandon Brooks, is the one who's not getting a lot of attention but certainly seems to be playing great football.
He's gotten my attention. Brandon is a totally different player as well. I think the two of those guys have made the most, you know, improvement. Heck, I think they all have, to be honest with you, because Kelsey's in the same deal. Mm-hmm. But Brandon is, you know, people don't realize how, I know we all know how powerful he is, but you watch him run downfield, and, I mean, he's just a really athletic guy.
You know, Jason Kelsey, I remember talking to you in the spring and the summer, and Jason got a lot of heat from the outside. And you've always said that is not merited. That is not fair. Jason does a lot for us. He's the quarterback of that offensive line. I put a lot of responsibility on him. So tell me about Jason Kelsey in 2017.
Having a great year.
Mm-hmm.
To me, he's way more focused. He's his discipline in regards to the technique that he and I talk about is exceptional. And he's got a great mind. He's got a great football mind. And I think when you're that intelligent, sometimes you can overthink some things. I'm glad he has a great mind because we need him. We need him to do certain things for us in protections and in run game and all that stuff. But, you know, I think right now he's just doing his job and he's not trying to overdo anything else. And half of that is, like I said, we've asked him to do a lot for us and he still does a lot for us. But we're not asking him to be Superman. We just want him to do his job.
How's he done handling those big, massive?
Good. A lot over better. Much better.
Is that a technique thing?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Wisniewski.
Yeah.
Who, every year you look up, he seems to be starting. Like, I look at his career, every year he's like the, you know how Darren Sproles is the Swiss Army knife? I look at Wisniewski, I say, that guy, every time I look up, he's on the field playing football. Good player that, again, people outside really don't talk about.
The thing about Wiz, and I tell him this all the time to his face, I say, you know, you have this unbelievable ability to find your way like a puller up to the next level. Mm-hmm. Somehow he steps through trash, gets around this guy, mm-hmm. and ends up right on the guy he's supposed to block. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe another guy runs full speed and he trips and falls and then he doesn't get there and the other guy makes the tackle.
Is that up here in his brain, his mind? Natural?
Part of it is that he's just he's been involved in a lot of games, like you said. Mm-hmm. When you're in the game, not practice. Not that practice isn't important. It's very important. But the speed of the actual game is so fast, you can't replicate it.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in those games. He understands. He's got – his body is been in those situations. So it's – he's familiar with it. And his balance factor to me, not only, you know, like you talk about, he's here, so we know, but his balance and body control is really good. And so with all of that – wrapped up in one, you have a very productive football player. So when you're evaluating him against whoever. You just look, and you, if you just took like a pencil and you put down plus, negative, plus, you're going to have a lot of pluses on your sheet for Wiz, because he always gets on the guy he's supposed to block, and he makes the block.
Left tackle, Jason Peters goes out. I know what a deep emotional blow that was to everybody here, how much everybody loves him. You got to recover really quickly and get a young kid ready to go into left tackle who had never played left tackle in a regular season game in the NFL, right? So how tough was it? And how much credit do you give Big V for stepping in there and doing the job?
I give him a lot of credit. You know, we push the players even during OTAs. I know these situations happen. They happen every year. And whoever you are, and I make the players very aware of this, whoever you are, wherever you are, when a situation comes up, it's your job to be prepared and ready to go. And so you're going to act that way in practice. You're going to act that way in OTAs. You're going to act that way in meetings. When I go through my question and answer period, you're going to know your stuff inside and out. So you're going to be ready to go at any moment. And I think V did a great job with that.
Is he, big picture, best suited left side, right side, to be determined?
No, I think his natural, coming here from college at TCU, he was at left tackle.
Okay.
That's what he played. And I think we moved him over to the right side, and he's been there for, 2 years or whatever. And I think he's a natural left tackle, and that's why when you guys asked us, do you want to, should you have moved Lane over or whatever? At the end of the day, when you blink, no, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you got to move two guys. V's a good left tackle. He's a natural left tackle. Lane's having an outstanding season. Why go there?
Right. Great. I'm black and blue. We're ready to go here. Jeff Stoutland in studio, offensive line coach, presented by the Rothman Institute at Jefferson.
This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Toyota. Now is your chance to vote for the Toyota Player of the Week. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com, Toyota Player of the Week, to cast your vote and get a chance at a brand new Toyota.
Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. Just make one deposit, withdrawal, transfer, or payment each month to waive the monthly fee. And there's no minimum balance. You're all right with Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. Are you feeling all right, baby?
That's the time.
She
can't work.
No bounce.
Mom, stop screaming at me.
Taking the brakes.
Mom!
There are bumps along the road of life, and for each one, there's AAA.
Stop!
Finding the end zone is his specialty. In fact, he's found it over 17 times already today. He is a professional football watcher. Because he has NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. He catches every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 triple play and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call or go online today.
Ta-ta tokens, the SEPTA Key travel wallet is here. Visit iSEPTAPhilly.com to meet the less jingly way to pay.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
We are back. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, along with Glenn Mack now. Time now to meet our Santander Legend of the Week, someone who is near and dear to our hearts, the great Ike Reese, joining us this fine day. Ike, how are you?
Doing great, Spuds. Prof, what's going on, fellas?
Yeah,
always good.
Excited about, listen, we're talking Eagles, Dallas, Ike, and we have talked about this many, many times, and I know, if I recall correctly, you believe that the Giants are the most heated rivalry for you. But I'm not going to ask you about the best rivalry. But what does the Cowboys rivalry represent?
Well, to me, it represents the long history between this city and that city. You know, this great division of the NFC East. And it's a long traditional thing, in my opinion. So it's something that once you're either drafted here or you're traded here or you're brought here via free agency, you certainly learn the importance of this rival once you put on that uniform. So to me, it always represents to me what the city sort of represents as a sports fan base. And for this city, that team is number one when it comes to their hated rival. So even if you didn't grow up hating the Dallas Cowboys, you quickly learn to sort of hate them once you decide to play for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ike, you got here in 98 last year, Ray Rhodes. There were, in those first couple of years, a few ugly losses against the Cowboys, but it all turns in a game that you and I have talked about many times. The story of Andy Reid coming up to you before the game and telling you his plan on that 110-degree day, whatever it was, down there. Just if you could quickly relate that one, because it's a great one.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It started off in the locker room, right? And right before we get ready to go out the warm-ups, myself and Mike Caldwell, John Harbaugh, comes over to us and says, you know, Andy, be alert. Andy's thinking about running the surprise onside kick. And although we had practiced it that week, I never really thought we were going to run it, because I'm saying to myself, well, you don't open up a game the first game of the season with an onside kick. Who does that? And so when Harbs came over to us, you know, I know for me, I sort of sounded as if I agreed with it and I was confident in it, but as soon as he walked away, I started telling Mike, man, this ain't a good idea, man. This is not the way we need to start the season. So I'm saying to myself, okay, well, maybe we're not going to run it, you know. And then when we get out there and the kickoff team is huddling up and John is sort of giving us instructions, Andy comes over and he's like, all right, we're running it. It's on. And so I think he noticed a look on my face. And he was like, all right, you good with that? You good? You ready? And I'm like, I don't know, coach. You know, I can't use the exact word that he called me, but he basically called me a sissy for not wanting to do it. He said, you know, you big sissy, just go out there and have confidence. And so we lined up, and I just figured as long as I do my job, I can't get blamed if this thing doesn't go according to plan. And lo and behold, it was a great kick by David and an excellent recovery by Damian Douglas. I can still see the play in my head right now as I'm sitting here talking about it. It's one of the more memorable plays of my Eagle career.
And thus, the pickle juice game in 2000 was born. The Eagles go on to the playoffs that season. Ike, do you think the luster of this game, given that the Cowboys are coming off a bad loss, 5-4, no Ezekiel Elliott, likely no Sean Lee, Tyron Smith, we don't know. Has it lost any of the luster?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. Listen, I think as fans, yeah, would we like if the Cowboys were a little more relevant and to make it a little bit bigger of a game if both were coming off big wins and both had great records? No, we don't get that this year. But I think this game has other importance to it, which makes it big because we can all but close the door on the Cowboys if the Eagles were to win this week. So you certainly would close the door on their chance of winning this division. But I think it also puts a big nail in the coffin of them possibly making the playoffs. So the idea that we could end the Cowboys season effectively unless they go on a miraculous run, I think that makes for it being a big game. I think that's something that the fans can sort of get behind. And even though it's not necessarily a battle for first place in this division, I think the idea of possibly putting that proverbial nail in the coffin of the Cowboys is something all Eagles fans can get behind. And I think the players realize that, too. They're not going to talk about it, but I certainly, as a player, you certainly know what's at stake. And if you can get one of your potential competitors out of the way from a playoff position, you're certainly going to take some solace in being able to do that.
That works for me. That absolutely works for me. So one guy who will be playing for Dallas, of course, while Elliott isn't and Smith and Lee may not, is Dak Prescott, their young quarterback. I kind of do look forward to Wentz versus Prescott over the years. In your mind, Ike, who is Dak Prescott? What is he now?
Well, it's funny and Eagles fans may not like this this parallel I draw. He reminds me a lot of Donovan. He really does. When you look at his size, Donovan was a little bit more of a willing and better runner at this stage of his career in the second year. Dak is a runner when he needs to be, but he's really trying to extend plays to be able to throw the ball. A little bit better of an accurate passer at this stage of his career than Donovan was. But when I look at the body size, I look at the arm strength, I do see a lot of McNabb in Dak Prescott. And I do believe it's going to be a nice little rivalry twice a year that we get to see these two quarterbacks match up against each other. It's going to make for an interesting decade to come because typically if you got a franchise potential quarterback, you're going to be in the hunt year in and year out. And even though it's the Cowboys, I do believe Dak Prescott is the quarterback of their future. So, we certainly hope he doesn't have the success McNabb had here as a player, but there are a lot of the traits that he has that sort of reminds me of Donovan as a player.
Ike, final question. You are the Drive Time host on Sports Radio WIP. You've certainly had your finger on the pulse of the fans since August. Could you describe the kind of the escalation of the fans' interest and, I guess, their emotional peaks with this football season?
It's funny because, in most fan bases, you're going to get sort of a split viewpoint on how the season is going. Now, we all agree the Eagles are having a great season. It's just funny how it affects some of us. Some of us don't want to pinch ourselves and wake up and find out we may not be 8-1 or the best team in the NFL. So they kind of like don't want to believe what they're seeing. But then there's a large portion of the fan base that's riding this wave, that's talking about the dreaded S word no one wants to bring up. I'll bring it up. We're talking about the Super Bowl. So there are fans that certainly believe that this is the team that has a great opportunity to get there. And then there's that portion of the fan base that's reserving judgment, realizes that there's still a lot of football left to play, and they are sort of protecting their hearts. Because they're afraid of a letdown. They want to wait until this thing is locked in and clenched before they actually let themselves be vulnerable to what's going on. And so it's interesting being on talk radio, getting to sort of get the opinion of the season from different fans because it ranges. But most believe that we are a good team, and some just don't want to believe how good we are just because they're afraid of a letdown. And then you got those that are already making plans to be in Minnesota. In February. That's sort of where I'm at, guys. I believe it. I'm not scared of speaking into existence. The team is just that good. I don't think this is tomfoolery or we sort of lucked into being 8-1. This is a very good football team with a very good opportunity this year to bring that Lombardi home. You don't know what the future holds, but I know this year there's a great chance for them to get that accomplished.
Ike Reese, our Santander Legend of the Week. Once again, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ike.
We will speak to you down the road.
Hey, no problem. Go Birds.
There you go.
There you go. I agree. Always in love with the Eagles, and as well he should be.
Yeah, and it's so funny because, you know, I do the WIP thing also, and the way he described it is, I never knew I was going to be a psychiatrist when I grew up.
Yeah.
And that's often what you feel like.
I agree. I think everybody understands how special this season has been. But, Glenn, having been to 4 NFC Championship games, and not getting to the Super Bowl, I take nothing for granted.
Well, anybody who takes anything for granted is foolish, right?
But to deny that this team has a chance is also foolish.
Right, and the way I looked at it, I went into the season thinking, you know, they'll probably go 9-7. Maybe they can sneak into the playoffs, and that would be great. So if the Eagles go 11-5, win a playoff game, and don't win the Super Bowl, am I supposed to be disappointed?
No.
Just enjoy
I think at this
it
point
as
you
goes
will be.
Along.
Yes.
Enjoy it as it
Enjoy
unfolds.
The chapters as the book is presented. All right, let's take a look at what's ahead here. Our Amoroso's on the menu segment for you. We've got Doug Peterson mic'd up. A nice look into the world of Doug Peterson on game day. Mike Quick joins me in studio on Wednesday, our first look at the 5-4 Dallas Cowboys. And Mike and Ike, a progress report on undrafted rookie running back Corey Clement coming off a three touchdown game against the Denver Broncos, and we'll figure out kind of the progress that he's made. That's why we call it the progress report.
Brilliant.
That was amazing.
That's great marketing.
That's your Amoroso's on the menu. Look, Glenn, your thoughts on Sunday night in Dallas? Actually in Arlington, Texas.
My thoughts on Sunday night is I was always pretty confident about this game. You don't want to get overconfident. I mean, I'm not playing the game, so it doesn't matter, but if Sean Lee can't play, we know Ezekiel Elliott is out, and if Tyron Smith either can't play or is hampered, I would argue those are the three most important players on that team, right? Along with
not named Dak Prescott.
I think they may be. Well, I guess given the backup, but they.
Fine. I don't sell him short. I think he's a good quarterback.
I don't sell him short either. But let's say those are three of the five most important players on that team. If they're either out or can't play, it certainly gives the Eagles a tremendous opportunity to go in and win.
Agree with you. Glenn Macnow, Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us on Eagles 360. I'm back tomorrow with a great Mike Quick. Until then, have yourselves a great Eagles day.